You are listening to the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. This is a collective of creators and callings that bring us together. Here are your hosts, Aziza and Candace.
Hello! Welcome to episode 40 of the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. 40.
40.
That seems like a lot, but also like nothing in that.
So it's almost six weeks, six days.
It is 40.
6 years.
It's 6 weeks plus. Okay. So, I've forgotten math. I am one of your hosts, Aziza, aka Gourmet Pens, and let's welcome my also math forgotten co-host.
I am the co-host. I know that 6 sevens are 42. So anyway,
so it's like 6 sevens minus 2 days.
Minus 2 days. That's right. I am the other co-host. I am Candace, Inks and Anchors. We're ready for the fun. So
let's hang out. We're getting better. We're getting better. But if not, she will make us sound good.
She always makes us sound good.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so we are going to skip our usual style of kind of going through acquisitions and stuff, because the plan was to continue on the heels of our last episode, where we are going to share some of the community pen lover feedback for pen makers. And I think, and then, so what we thought we would do was just read through each comment, and it's nicely tidied and curated, so don't worry, you're not going to be here for like 3 years, and kind of discuss it, see how we feel, analyze it. So we are going to continue. We have a couple notes. Do you think we should go in any particular order or just as we receive them?
I will leave that up to you.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm going to go with the order that we have, just so we don't get confused. So the first thing is, this was a comment on the YouTube podcast for the last episode by Thor Hilda. And this is not so much for makers, but I think feedback for the pen community, like as another pen lover to other pen lovers. They said, when you refer to pen makers, you are talking about artisans who create custom handcrafted pens that can be commissioned according to individual preferences. However, this definition is quite specific and does not align with the broader understanding that most people have when they hear the term pen makers. Perhaps using terms like artisans or craftsperson would be more accurate. And that's a really good point, because they are more than just pen makers. Because
is that to distinguish, say, between pilot and
other pen makers? I guess so.
Are doing it in bulk?
Because even makers who are doing kit pens, they are still picking a material, turning down the material, putting it on a particular kit, and I mean, that to me, that would be craftsperson right there. Yeah. And I think it's maybe a spectrum where you have someone who's making is an artisan no matter what. And then the more elaborate they do, like if they're doing metalwork or pouring blanks or stack blanks or something, it can become more of an artisan. So when we say pen makers, it is not something that we mean with any dismissal of their skills and talent and work. It's really just simplifying a term, a simplified term to refer to all these people that we harass with our pen needs.
I think when we were referring to pen makers, we meant the ability to do a custom order.
Yes.
Potentially, yeah. Right? So it's not like, and I mean, you could probably speak to Edison, for example, and get a one-off made. I'm not sure.
Yes. How, yeah. He still does customs.
Yeah. So anyone that does that, I mean, I don't know if Sean still does that. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the whole Sean team, that definitely qualifies as
an artisan.
Artisanal.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, it's definitely a broad term and not meant to be narrow in any, way.
Yes. And it is totally used with love and affection. Like it's a positive term. But thank you, Thor Hilda, for pointing that out. And we just want to echo that we agree with this. So, okay, the first comment, I'm not going to say who it's from, because I did say I would leave it anonymous. Everyone who did submit their feedback did leave names, but just out of respect, I'm going to leave it out. If they want their name shared, we can always discuss it later. So the first one is, quote, your pens are awesome, but like, what's the price range? And I don't want to inquire and be like the person that is, look, I am poor, I don't want to waste your time, but also aspirationally, what's the range so I could shoot for it? And that is very fair.
That is exactly what I was talking about last time, because I feel like it's you know, you have no idea what some of these pen makers are charging. Yep. And you want to know, because you may not be in the market, but you want to know.
Yeah. But and this person, aspirationally, it is right. Like, what if you want to save for it or plan for a commission down the road or something? And I think I'm guessing that the response to this from pen makers would be that they don't mind being asked, even if you're not ready to buy. But I always feel like, you know, when you go into a store and there's a salesperson and they're super pushy and stressful, and then they end up helping you, but you still don't want what they have offered. Mm-hmm. So you turn them down. And it's like, I feel really bad for using all your time and not buying anything. So that is kind of how I feel when pestering a pen maker.
Also, I think there's transparency is always good, right? Because yeah. I don't know, you don't want to feel like you're getting charged more than the next person. Not that you would be necessarily, but
right.
I get it that prices change and, yep. you know, I may or may not have a specific pen maker, an example in mind, but
yeah,
I'll just do it, you know, drawing an analogy. I used to go to this hairdresser and I would go in and I would get my hair done and I would say, okay, how much is it? And I would get a different price every single time. And I have no idea how this person priced their services. Was it because my hair was an inch longer than the last time? Was it? And it's not that the price kept going up. It just fluctuated. And I had no idea. Right. And it was just like, what are you doing?
Please explain. Like, help me understand.
I know. And I don't even think that they could probably explain it. Like, it was just, I think they just kind of, I have no idea. Anyway, you kind of don't want to get that feeling either, right? Like, it's a different price all the time. And it would just be helpful. It's like, okay, my price is, you know, $170. Yep. But if I use a material from Brooks, it's more expensive. If I use a material from Danks Blanks, it's more expensive.
Yes.
And I add a premium for that material because, and that's totally fair, right? I think it's totally fair because
I think that'd be beautiful.
Yeah.
Because then you could have an idea of what you might be looking at.
Yeah.
Even if it's not down to the dollar, it does give you some time on your own to think about it without asking them a million questions. And then they have to answer each person individually, which is time consuming for them.
Yeah.
So I hope that this is something that will continue to improve for pen makers. I mean, not just for the enjoyment and benefit of pen lovers and buyers, but also for their peace of mind and for the sake of saving their time. Okay. The next one. This one is, a lot of pen makers use Yovo or Bock nibs, but there's still a wide array of difference in terms of quality. Ideally, I would love if all small makers could do some nib tuning. For example, Edison Pens does an incredible job of tuning all their nibs. But short of that, I would love to make sure that there is some quality control. That's a tough one.
It's
I don't disagree. It's just tough.
It's very tough. And also, even if the nib is tuned, it may not be tuned to how you like it. Right. Which is always something you have to keep in mind. And, you know,
that's a good point.
But it's
because you're specific about feedback.
Yeah.
And like personally for me, I don't want feedback. Right. So it would be totally different tune-ups for either of us.
I know that I find like a vast majority of pen makers in the US anyway, get their Bock nibs from Kirk at Pen Realm.
Right.
I feel like I don't know if that's actually the case, but I know that many of them say, oh, and I can do Bock nibs and they're all tuned by Kirk.
Right.
And it does bring a whole lot of comfort in knowing that it's tuned by him, because I have yet to get a nib from someone who has said it's tuned by Kirk to be inferior, right? Even if it doesn't give as much feedback as I'd like, I tend to find them to be to my liking. But yeah, it is tough, because I guess a lot of pen makers, I think almost all of them at a minimum say, I know that it writes.
Yeah. And it is also something that is time consuming to smooth each nib, clean out the pen.
And some people don't like their pens dipped.
Yeah, that's another thing. It is tough. And I wonder if it might be better for pen makers to purchase their nibs pre-tuned and like all of them be able to offer something that is already pre-tuned.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I don't think I've ever gotten a bad Yovo nib personally, like one that just didn't write or
yeah.
was like misaligned or anything like that.
I mean, I'm not super picky about my nibs. So yeah. For me, I can understand the desire to have this, but I personally don't need it. I would also, we were just talking about the previous point about having a price list. So they could also have something where they offer an untuned nib for like $10 and then a tuned nib for like $15 or something.
I disagree. I disagree.
How dare she? No, this is good.
Controversy.
Yes.
Yeah. I think at a minimum, it should be, there's a minimum level of how that nib should write.
Yeah.
And I mean, that might be untuned. If yeah. what you classify as untuned, but yeah. I don't think you should call it untuned. I think it should just be, it should write.
Like factory. I mean, ideally they should.
And then, but if you want it tuned specifically to your needs.
Yeah. And I mean, then you're getting
something different.
Nib work almost.
Well, right? But this is how some of the retailers differentiate themselves. I don't know if there's a pen maker that comes to the top of my pen artisan.
Yeah.
That's also a Nibmeister, like in that category. I know sometimes when I want to buy a pen, like a Twisby,
yeah.
I will buy it from Nib Grinder, Mark Backus, or Nib Smith, Dan Smith. Yeah. I was drawing a blank. I will sometimes specifically, or Apple Boom.
Yeah.
I will go specifically to those retailers
yeah.
for the non-artisan type pens.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I know it also comes with a tuning service that's yeah. included in the price, which I think
right.
is gold. And I think
yeah.
it's well worth your effort, as yeah. you have told us on this very podcast mm-hmm. with a Mont Blanc, that you were too impatient
oh, yeah.
to wait to have it tuned.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a disaster, right?
And I mean, I could have sent it back. They right. would have fixed it, but
it's a pain. Who wants to do that, right?
And you will have to wait probably a little bit.
Worth
right?
it.
Right? But
it's worth it. It's completely yeah. worth it because
yeah.
just the tuning is $20 to $30. Like, on top of the price that you pay minimum.
Yeah.
And that's if you take it to a pen show and make yeah. an appointment and sit down and, you know, have it tuned, which is again, worth it. But in my opinion, like I have this my AutoHut pen, the Model 3 pen.
Is that your pink and violet?
Pink and violet.
Yeah,
one, yeah.
Right.
I got it from Apple Boom. And every time I take it out to write with it, it's like, oh, I just love the way this writes. I mean,
that's nice.
It's so, it really is, does not happen every single time, right? When I
yeah.
write with a pen.
Also, I am shocked that you still have it.
But it should. I have it. And not only do I have it, Aziza, but it's still inked. There was a period of time.
It has been like 3 months. That is a long
yeah,
time for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I think there was a 2 or 3 week period that it wasn't inked because I switched.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But you still have it.
But I reached for it again and I said, no, I got to have it inked. Anyway.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I do think if pen makers learn the basics of tuning, yeah. I get it that it takes more time to get something out the door.
But your customer in the end will very likely be happier.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something that could be worked into pen shows where they do have nib smoothing workshops, but it is during the show. No one can go if they're at a table. It would be interesting to see it more like a conference where you have a week-long thing mm-hmm. with people doing presentations on pens, a full workshop where everyone has the opportunity to attend a nib smoothing or something. I mean, this is just a fantasy of having it be, I guess, more real.
Well,
you know,
well, how about even one of the Nibmeisters attending that pen show, you know,
yeah.
an hour before the show starts?
Yeah.
Or before they would typically set up, offer their services for vendors. So
that would be
like
really
offer,
interesting.
Offer a seminar for
yeah.
vendors
yeah.
to attend so that they could learn just the basics.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
So hopefully that gets kind of integrated somehow.
Yeah. But I agree. It would. Yeah. I think your pen should write. And that goes not just for artisan pens, but you know, indeed, every pen. I mean, not yeah. a week goes by on any of our pen forums that we
yeah.
are that people are saying, oh, I think the latest one was someone with an Estabrook Jr.
Right. Not working
at all. Like, just,
oh, dear.
Yeah. Frustrating, right?
It is frustrating. And I mean, maybe it's because I don't buy a lot of new pens anymore. I buy a lot of used pens. So they almost always write. there you go. There's a reason to buy a used pen. Chances are it's going to write. Someone will have already fixed it, most likely. I got to remember that for myself. So let us carry on. This one is, would love to second the communication and transparency aspect. I have a maker pen that has a cracked cap and I've been unable to contact the maker and it has been months. It was such an investment for me. So not to be able to contact them after the fact is
like
a negative for sure.
Or yeah. Yeah.
And it is intimidating to commission a pen and just knowing what to expect, a maker's process and pricing would be very helpful. That's rough. I have had one or two maker pens that have had cracks. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, the makers in question were very responsive, dealt with it right away. Mm-hmm. They didn't really apologize, I'm glad, because it can happen. And sometimes it happens because there's a spot that got stressed or something that's out of their control. So they didn't say like, I'm sorry that I did this to your pen. It's mm-hmm. more like, sorry that you have to send it back to me. Let me take care of it for you. Like, it has gotten resolved. But I also don't want makers to think that in a case like this, it's their fault or something, so that maybe they're intimidated to reply. But it's like, please don't. Just reply. Even if you are unwilling to fix it, at least tell the person so they know.
Yeah, I think that's a tough one if you're unwilling to fix it. I really think you should stand by
your product.
And many makers, I think, will stand by their pen even if you're not the
original
owner, because they know it's their pen. And it's and as long as it's something not as a result of abuse, obviously, right?
Right, right.
It's happened, you know, a few times with me where I've had some issues with pens and mm-hmm. the makers have all acknowledged that, you know, it shouldn't have gone out that way. Apologies. Cause you know, they're human and they miss things, but they just, they make it right. And I mean, we're talking about hundreds of dollars that are just, that's not inexpensive. Right.
And especially cause it's a,
that's right. You know, hundreds of dollars for a car would be fine.
But, exactly.
But for a pen, it's mm-hmm. Disconcerting and it's frustrating, right? When you don't get a response. I'm actually experiencing that right now with a maker that has not responded timely. Mm-hmm. And I think I still have faith that he will respond, mm-hmm. but it sometimes is days, if not weeks, go by without, you know, a response. And every time he posts something on Instagram, I rush to my messages
to
try and send something so that it will pop up right away. Because not
catch them while they're still on their phone.
Because I know that unlike me, some of them don't live on Instagram 24/7, right?
Right.
They may pop in every few days or every week or so. But it's very frustrating, especially when you have already paid for the product.
Yes.
And
yes.
you don't have the product or there's something wrong with it and you're still left in limbo trying to get it resolved.
Right. You just want an answer or just some transparency. Yeah. Just want to know what's going on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that is perfectly fair. And I don't know. I also don't want to harass people, but it's like, if you don't respond to any of my messages, I'm probably going to email you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and if you don't respond to an email, I'm probably going to phone you.
Yeah.
Which is everybody's worst nightmare.
That's right. So. And let alone maybe at the very end as a last resort, call you out.
Yes. And that is the last thing. I think
nobody
for most people, that is the last thing that they want to do.
Yeah. But they're frustrated and desperate.
Yeah. And I look forward to the maker feedback for the pen community, because I'm sure something like that will come up. Like this whole topic will come up. Okay, here we have, it's okay to not take commissions. Especially with the handmade nature of resins, pens might not look quite like what the commissioner wants anyway.
So what does that mean? Like, it's okay not to take commissions? Like,
stock pens?
I see. Oh, okay. Got it.
And do drops. So Black Robin Pens does that. Mayfair does that every now and then. Mayfair does take commissions.
Mad Science
does drops.
Yeah, no, I think Meg does commissions, but she's all, right now, but I think.
Yes.
She does take commissions, but she does stock pens.
Yes.
I think most pen makers do stock pens interspersed with commissions.
I mean, in a way, that is very exciting.
Yeah.
because it, I mean, it's a thrill. You don't know what's going to get dropped. So
also you get to see what the final pen looks like.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I don't know if we've talked about this. I'm sure we would have talked about this, but it's so hard to know exactly what your pen is going to look like for a lot of these blanks because they differ. They're hand-poured and you just don't know what it's going to look like. And I have had, unfortunately, experiences where I think it's in my mind, it's going to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And in the end, it doesn't. And sometimes I purchase the pen anyway because I feel bad and I've agreed to purchase it.
Yeah.
But after a while, I've said, listen, I don't want to commission it because I don't want to commit to something I don't know what it looks like. And some makers have been very good in saying, listen, if you're not happy with it, you don't have to buy it. And I'm thinking, okay, if you're okay.
And you're taking them further at their word. This is what they're okay with.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, once I had purchased a blank, very excited about it, had the maker make the pen, and we both looked at it. We were like, ew. So they were like, yeah, you don't need to buy this. And I was like, I will, because it is a commission. They were like, no, don't.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
That's nice.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. So that's great when people do drops like that, because of course the bad part is, you know, you're stalking their site. You're like trying to.
Yeah. And then you find out like one of your good friends got the pen you wanted.
They're not a good friend.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're dead to me now. I think this is why pen shows are great.
Or you have five people.
Yeah.
On your behalf.
Oh gosh, I know.
Trying to buy the pen for you.
I know. It's like someone needs to get this.
I know. And I'll just reimburse you. Just go, go, go.
Just work for it. Yeah. So go to pen shows. That's the best way. Okay. Don't be afraid to play with shapes or combine colors or add metal to make your pens just a little more your own. Standing out is probably the hardest thing.
Yes.
That's a good point.
I agree. Not all pen makers take that approach, right? I think some of them just want to, they're comfortable making this model pen and that's the pen model that they're going to make. And they're happy with, I guess, a pretty ink stick, right?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that because people know what to expect, right?
Yes.
And
also, but it doesn't necessarily stand out.
It doesn't stand out. I remember once I purchased that Franklin Kristoff, is it 48 pen case? You know, the little briefcase thingy, whatever.
Yeah.
And I mostly put my custom pens in there. And I took a picture of it from the top to show all the pens. And I love it because I can see right away all my custom pens and I know exactly where each one is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I posted that and I said, hey, makers, you know, can you spot your pens?
Yeah.
And it's really funny because right away, a few of them say, I know which ones are mine. Like you can see right away the telltale shape, right? So
yeah.
It's pretty interesting to be able to just point right away. I know, you know, for sure this one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine. So
even something simple, like it doesn't have to be ornate or complicated.
Right.
It could just be a simple little thing, a little like artist signature kind of thing. I do like that idea. Don't skimp on the threads. Balky threads. Balky? Bulky?
Maybe bulky.
I'm not sure if that's a typo or anyway.
Probably the most annoying thing to have on a pen.
Bulky threads are probably the most annoying thing to have on a pen.
So maybe don't skimp on the threads, meaning pay attention
to it.
Yeah, pay attention to the threads. Absolutely. Yeah.
Don't leave them dirty or messy or poorly cut.
Or cut.
Yeah.
Make sure they're smooth and...
Especially if you're doing just a straight ink stick.
Yeah.
Like the last thing you want is the one standout feature being crappy threads.
Yeah.
Right?
You know which threads I really like is Chris from Butterknife. He has these square threads.
Yes, yes.
I really, really love because it's totally smooth and it's really cool because the threads are, it's thick. Like it's not thick, it's wide, I guess. They're really flat, but wide, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's almost like a hook system, like the viscosity.
Yeah,
uses,
exactly.
But, you know, it works.
I really, really liked it. Unfortunately, I still don't own that pen because he only puts it, I think, on his bigger, girthier 15 millimeter model.
Right, right.
And I think in the end, I sold that pen. I was hanging on to it for the longest time because...
It was too big.
Yeah, it was too big. And I just ended up selling it. But
perhaps one day he will...
Do a 13 millimeter using that.
Do a smaller, maybe, maybe.
But yes,
okay.
Please pay attention to your threads.
Yeah. Kind of in line with the previous comment, focus on different styles or filling designs as well as materials.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many makers making similar designs with nearly identical materials and charging a premium for it. And of course, they are pens. They have a certain shape.
Right.
So many of them are going to resemble one another.
Yeah.
But yes, doing something, just something to make it
your own.
Yours. And even if it's just like a dip in the barrel that you do where people can put their thumb or some, I don't know, like a like a fidget type thing.
Yeah.
Anything to, it doesn't have to be complicated. It could just be anything to stand out. So mm-hmm. that is pretty cool.
And different filling systems is cool as well to,
yeah,
you know, not that I'm a fan of different filling systems. I like arch converters,
but some people are. I know. And
I get it.
Some people, I mean, some makers will rebuild existing pens, if, especially if the material is damaged.
Like Sean Newton is a good example of that. And he's
on the Pelican, Twiz Pens does a wicked job.
Yeah.
This is artisanal.
Oh,
and in that case, I would just say expect a premium because that's a skill. It is time consuming. It's intimidating, especially if you're using a material that is like the last rod on earth.
Yes.
You know, like no pressure, but don't mess up. So, but in that case, of course, I would assume that one would expect a lengthy waiting time, a complicated process, but be okay with it. Okay. Ooh, this is interesting. Okay. So number one, it is not okay to charge $1,000+ for a plastic pen. I don't think I've ever paid that much for a custom pen, but with particular materials and add-ons, I could see how it could happen.
Yeah. It is controversial in a way because you just don't have to buy it.
That's true.
Right? Part of it is true. And I don't think I've ever seen a pen maker gouge the customer from that perspective. Like I don't like usually if it's gonna be a plastic pen for $1,000, I don't think I've ever seen that. But I mean, I've seen a plastic pen with rodden on it and Urushi,
right?
And then it, you know, gets up to the top tier almost four.
I mean, that leaves a bit of room for interpretation.
Yeah.
Because the following point is precious resin is not precious, which is true. It's just a marketing term.
Yeah. But, so maybe that's it.
Maybe that's what it is. Although that is, of course, that is not what makers do.
Right.
In that they're not using precious resin.
Right.
They're just using resin.
Yeah.
Or acrylic or cellulose acetate or whatever. But in that case, if something like the Arcocelluloid, which goes for like hundreds of dollars a rod, that's supply and demand. That's the way it goes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it ridiculous to charge that much?
Oh,
maybe,
yeah.
Right? But
if someone can afford it and that's what they want,
they're going to pay for it. And
they're going to pay for it.
And people are just going to say, sellers are just going to say it's the market price.
Yeah. I mean, the market will bear what people will spend.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is a very good point. Warn customers if the material, for example, celluloid that the maker is using can shrink, discolor, or catch fire.
Yes.
I do think material warnings are very neglected, mm-hmm. very important. Ryan Krusak works with wood and is always careful to let the buyer know how to treat the pen because it's apparently very easy to damage it with heat. So like,
makes
don't
sense.
Leave your pen in a car. So
makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And but it's nice to have a maker who understands the material to explain that. And I mean, also I just use general common sense, but specifically like celluloid, that is something that can crystallize, discolor, shrink, change, warp.
But you know that because you've been in this game.
I know that, but somebody who is just new or has never worked with celluloid,
no
never
idea.
Heard of it.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's a good idea.
Same thing like my first time I bought a Kaysen pen.
Yes.
Beautiful material. But I actually found that it actually does shrink over time.
Right.
And it's not really that big of a deal, except as you know, I like to store my pens separately from my nibs.
Yes.
And when I went to then screw in the nib into the pen, I thought all of a sudden it doesn't fit.
Right.
And so there are issues with that. You just, not a big deal. You just have to know how to use your pen, treat it, et cetera. The other big thing for me is, and I don't think it's an issue for you, Miss, I like to sniff everything. Is it celluloid or that material that the camphor kind of smell?
Yeah.
What material is that?
That is celluloid.
Yeah. If you sell me a celluloid pen, please tell me that that's what it is. And it's going to smell like that for months and months, if not years afterwards.
Candace, I would buy celluloid
just for that.
And I would rub it just for the smell. I personally love that. And you remember you had a pen that was acrylic, and remember I had Captain, and I was like,
you almost passed out. It was so strong.
And then I was like, oh my God, I'm so dizzy. And then I did it again because I very much enjoyed that smell, but I'm a sniffer.
Yeah.
So not everybody is, but I think that is a fun way that pen makers can educate buyers about their work. Mm-hmm. And while also educating the pen community as a whole. So I know they're already contributing by doing the hard work of making pretty pens, but I think it would
benefit
them. Yeah, like work harder. Quit your day job. I know. Pens for me. I think it would be really beneficial. Okay. If you're charging over $400 for a pen, it should have a gold nib.
False. That's what I think.
That is tough.
That's controversial because...
That is controversial. I totally paid $400 for a steel nib.
It depends on the material.
Yeah, this would be ideal. Yes, I would love it that a $400 pen would come with a gold nib. That would certainly cut into the margins for the maker. I don't think a lot of makers would be able to absorb this as a cost.
Yeah.
Offering gold nib as a upgrade. Sure. It would be lovely, but I don't see it happening.
Well, I mean, I think it just depends. Like if it's $400, it can come with a gold nib if you have a regular resin pour.
Yes, that's true.
That your pen would normally be $175, yeah, for example, and then you add $120 or whatever the typical, that's typically kind of like a
right
gold nib price.
Right.
Then yeah, it would be with a gold nib.
Yeah.
But if you
There are some models of pens with standard resin,
right,
but the model is what's time consuming, so that costs more.
Right.
Worse yet, if you have a complicated material with a complicated right model shape and facets and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. Like if you have an Obrex Opal pen, it's going to cost more. If you're going to have an abalone type material on the pen,
yeah,
that's going to cost more with a steel
nib. Could you imagine a Newton Prospector in the Oprex Opal?
I'm sure that would be...
That would be, first of all, it would cost a fortune,
yeah,
but it would be to die for.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to reach out to him. just to inquire, just out of curiosity, have you ever done this before? Would you be willing?
I don't know if he... Yeah. I haven't seen him do the...
I don't know.
And I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but the Oprex Opal material is beautiful, but not every maker will do it because it does come with some health hazards.
Yes,
It's made of silica. And I think you really have to be mindful that you're not inhaling it. And so you have to be well ventilated.
You need good ventilation.
You need a mask.
Don't do that in your bedroom kind of thing.
Yeah.
It is very interesting to know that about material though.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me keep going here. Let me see. How much Arco bronze can there possibly be? It hasn't been made for years and yet it keeps coming. That is hilarious. It is a totally manufactured market in that a few people must have
hoarded the material.
Hoarded.
Yeah.
And I don't know how big the rods are, but I don't think they are like the little 4-inch blanks that we sometimes get for resins. I think they
are quite significantly long, aren't they?
Large. Yeah, I think they're significantly larger. And I don't know how all the pens are being made, but I think that if they're in the sheets, they can be rolled around the barrel instead of drilled out
right
as a pen. So it's a very fair point. I do not own any Arco Bronze anymore. I totally loved it. But at some point, I looked at it and I thought, I just have this pen because this is the pen that people want.
It's in demand and it's not what you want. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even want this. And so I ended up selling it and got the material that I actually liked, which is also celluloid. It's the black and white Omas, the Galileo. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that one just floats my boat. So that's really funny about Arco Browns, and it's fun to kind of predict what the next material will be like that.
Do you think the Arco Bronze is still as popular or because...
I don't think so.
Because it keeps coming out.
I think the market is saturated with it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with pens that everyone can use. Like some of them are too expensive.
Right.
Or
massive.
Too big, too heavy, yeah, boring nibs, whatever.
Yeah.
But I do not see the craze like I used to. Okay, and then last, if you release more limited editions than standard models, it's the standard models that are rare. Is that for... I'm trying to think if that applies to...
Artisans and makers? I don't think so.
Possibly. I mean, that kind of makes me think of like Sailor.
Yeah.
with their
four standard pens.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The burgundy and black one. And then everything.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Okay. That is not maker related, but that is pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we should totally do an episode of thoughts for pen manufacturers.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
And then hopefully they'll hear our pleas or something. But yeah, this was really fun. I mean, I hope this has been educational and helpful for makers.
I think so. So I did get a message from a maker who said that they found this to be quite informative because sometimes I think, you know, like with anything that maybe you create or produce, you're a bit afraid of criticism and maybe you don't want to ask people for feedback.
Oh yeah. It's like, please hurt my feelings.
I know.
Right?
Like, I mean, like I mentioned last week about Rich reaching out. I thought that was really brave of him. And
that is scary.
Yeah. And so I think for that maker that reached out said that they like this episode or this idea and were listening to it because they don't necessarily get that kind of feedback on their own. Right.
So yeah. And I could totally understand how that would be intimidating and scary. And I'm not a maker, but even when I do workshops or send out a package or something, I'm always nervous, you know, and makers are humans. They could have an off day. Things can happen. So I do try to be kind about everything.
Do you know what I think is the coolest? And also I think the scariest thing is that, you know, how the makers have their Secret Santa.
Yes.
So they all, I don't know if your listeners are aware of it, but a bunch of them get together and they draw names and all among makers and they make a pen of theirs and send it to the other maker. So
that is cute.
I think it's really cute because you see all these other makers, you know, posting on Instagram pens received from other makers, which is great. But it's also, I mean, that must be horrifying because you're sending your pen to be examined.
And like, what if you're new?
I know.
Right? And it's like, you have to send it to someone who's been making for years and is legendary. It's like, okay, you know, but I do think the maker community is very supportive of each other and helping each other out when it comes to how could I do this or how can I improve that? So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to buy your pens. So, that's everything commentary-wise that was appropriate to share. there was nothing else. I think all of these points are totally valid. And I don't know. Any final thoughts?
No. I mean, I look forward to hearing what the pen makers have to say.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, of course, you don't have to stop here. You can always drop us a line and or comment about anything related to pens or stationery at any time.
Even if you just want to email in your thoughts because you missed this particular window, we will happily still talk about it.
Absolutely.
And I think that would actually be really cool. And hopefully this will be a way to improve things between makers and buyers just to make everything better for everybody.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So my dinner is sitting next to me.
Okay.
Getting cold. It's totally cold already, but I want to eat it. So... However, this was very cool. Thank you, everyone, for participating and for your feedback. Much appreciated. And that's pretty much it. We will be resuming kind of the usual next time. Sort of. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Sort of. Anyway, have a good one. This is Aziza, aka Gourmet Pens. And please also remember to check out the shop because there's lots of cool stuff there.
And this is Candace, aka Inks and Anchors.
Bye. Bye.
This podcast was sponsored by Gourmet Pen Shop. Need some tools for slinging ink? Samples to explore? Hop on over to gourmetpenshop.com and consider supporting us by picking up some cool new stuff. And if you like what you hear, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
My favorite TV shows of all kind. I do love a good drama series, right? Like This Is Us or whatever. But I love British detective series or shows.
Like Matlock?
No. Matlock is not British. And it's not detective.
Which one was... The one, shoot, there was one.
Of course, that I forget all the names of them.
Of course, yeah. There's all one the names I used to watch anyway.
But they're all actual British shows, detective shows. They seem to be, I think they're just really, really good. And they have, so they're all like DCI Holmes or DCI something, or the DCIs have some, obviously some crutch or some issue with their lives. It's either like a failed marriage or maybe drinking or whatever, but there's this background story, but the cases are quite good. And I don't know, they all seem to be really good.
Yeah.
I love a good cry when it comes to like a good movie and a good show. And
yeah.
Being that intense.
No, see, I could cry about my life, so I don't need an external thing.
I prefer to cry about other people's lives.
Man, gee, you might want to cut that entire thing out.